Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Doesn't that sound nice? It's verse 14. I thought Sue read it brilliantly. Finally, you might think, a bit of respect for Jesus. Page 1017, look down, look at verse 13. Because no, this is a trap. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. And we're here this evening to decide and see how brilliant Jesus is, so that we can decide whether to give him everything that we are. It's Partnership Sunday. Phil has said, please pray and belong and serve and give. Should you? Well, it depends if Jesus is worth it. And here in these verses, the rulers of his world, they try everything they can to take him down. We've got church and state, religious Pharisees and agents of King Herod. Let's see if we can catch him. And it's not just catch him out and make him look like a fool. They want to kill him. A wrong answer to this trap gives them a route map to murder. So after the flattery comes the question, end of verse 14. We know you'll tell us the truth. Just tell us, is it right to pay the poll tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? Do you see the trap? The Roman emperor, Caesar, he is the occupying invader. So if Jesus says no, that seems like option one. If Jesus says no, don't pay, then they can report him to the Romans. Really, that question is, do you want to bring down the Roman government? They would have proof that he's dangerous, that he's a rebel. But option B, the only other option, if he says yes, pay tax to Rome, well, then Jesus, he loses his popularity, which is the only thing keeping him alive. Just look across the page to 11 verse 18. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, they began looking for a way to kill him. But they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And that goes right through this story until they do find a way to kill him. If he said, pay tax to the hated invader, that is a message that will lose him the crowds, and then they can kill him. And more than that, pay tax, that would also kill his claim to be the Messiah. The people, they're waiting for a king to overthrow the Romans. They don't have space in their brains for a Messiah who wants them to pay tax to the Romans. So that question is, do you think we should collaborate with the enemies of God? So this question, it is an unplayable ace, isn't it? In fact, this whole chapter is like a very high stakes tennis match, quite suitable on the night we have table tennis laid out here in church. Jesus and his enemies, it's like they take it in turns to serve or return. It's like Jesus has to face the best players in the world one after another. They go off for a rest and bring out someone else. He has to just keep playing. So 11 verse 27, that was Alcaraz. 12 verse 13, this is Djokovic. 12 18 is Taylor Fritz. And 12 28 will be Jannik Sinner. And this one, this is an unplayable ball, isn't it? It's a yes, no question. And either answer gets you killed. But Jesus, he is brilliant, and I should give him everything. So see what he does with it. Verse 15, Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He asked. He's not fooled for a second. And then his answer, bring me a denarius and let me look at it. And I like to imagine that it is one of the Pharisees or the Herodians that's sort of, you know, patting around in their pockets and finds a coin. You hypocrite. You want to make me look bad for collaborating with the Romans, and you've got pockets full of their coins. What's going on? So verse 16, they brought the coin, and he asked them, Whose image is this? And whose inscription? It's an easy, factual question. They say, Caesar's. And then we get to Jesus' brilliant and famous answer. And if you're somebody here who you've always been told Jesus, he was weak or confused or not relevant or didn't have much about him, well, please listen to this. This is Jesus against the most elite opponents of his day. And I think he just knocks them backwards. Ask yourself, could this man know something about life, about my life? And again, we're running Christianity Explored, starts tomorrow night. Please come with whatever you currently believe about Jesus, and we'll do this in Mark's Gospel week by week by week. See, tonight is just a taster, a flavor, and come back and look at him week by week. So Jesus answers, it's 13 words only, and we're going to seek to understand it over two headings. That's what we're going to look at. And the first one is loophole life is miserable. And they're hypocrites. Jesus says that. Sure, they're hypocrites. But also, more than that, they've not been giving anyone what they owe. They hate Caesar. That's what they're saying. But they also work for him. And the Herodians, they rule Judea for Caesar. But really, they're in it for themselves and trying to get away with as little payment to Caesar as possible. They're living the loophole life. Have you heard of Mr. Loophole? Real name, Nick Freeman. He wrote the book, The Art of the Loophole, Making the Law Work for You. He's a lawyer. He's nearly retired. So you want to, you know, use him quickly if you need him. He specializes in traffic fines, speeding tickets, that kind of thing, where you break the law, you are guilty, but you ring Mr. Loophole. And Mr. Loophole will find you a way out. Was the camera too tall? Was the yellow box too wonky? You go free. And they have done that with Caesar, and they've done that with God. So just think about the last few weeks that we've had in Mark's Gospel. They claim to be the leaders of God's people, but they think they have the right to do what they want in God's city and God's temple. Do you remember there's a cattle market in the temple, in the place where the Gentiles were meant to pray? The only place Gentiles could pray. Jesus said, you're like a terrible fig tree. There's loads of leaves. There's lots of activity. But none of it is the fruit that God was looking for. But it's okay, because they found a loophole. We won't pray, but we'll sell cows instead and change money, which, you know, that's kind of temple related. And it happens to make us a big fat profit as well. That's okay. We found a loophole. Same thing in the parable of the tenants last week. Do you remember Michael challenged us? Are we agents of the owner, or do we want the freedom to do as we please? Those tenants, they wouldn't pay any rent at all. And they beat up the messengers and they killed the son. And they went on thinking that somehow the God figure in the story, did the screen just move behind me? It's very exciting. Good. Somehow, they paid nothing, they beat up his messengers, they killed his son, and they went on thinking that the God figure in the story wouldn't notice, wouldn't see beyond the leaves into what their lives were really like. So Jesus asks for a coin. Anyone have a coin? We don't really carry coins anymore, do we? I don't normally have a coin, but I went to Sainsbury's this Saturday, and I've lost the euro I've been carrying around in my pocket for 20 years. I lost it. Euro's been right there, I have. And I had to get change. So here is a coin. If you've got one, take it out. Anyone got a coin? No one's got a coin in this whole building. This one is lovely. It's quite new and shiny. It's got a crown full of vegetables on one side for our national emblems. And on the other side, every British coin, just like every Roman coin, there is a face, the image of a person. This coin is from 2017, so it is Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth. Anyone got one with King Charles? Anyone got a coin in the building with King Charles on it? Yes, not here. At home. Okay. Safely locked up. Let me show you a coin from the time of Jesus. Handsome man there, that is Tiberius Caesar, his face and also his claim, son of the divine Augustus. Oh, here we go. We've got a proper coin now. Is that a king? No, it's still... It's very shiny. It's the king. That is very exciting. Look at that. I will give that back, but that is very exciting. Good, we need that. I wasn't going to try and, you know, change hundreds of pound coins, try and find the king. That's very good. Every coin in our kingdom has a royal face stamped into the metal. And Jesus' point here is pretty obvious, isn't it? If it has his face on it, at some level, it is his money. I'm told that when William and Harry were children, they didn't quite get it. All these banknotes in people's pockets with little pictures of their granny on it. And so when they asked for money to go and buy sweets, they would ask for a blue granny, £5 note, or a brown granny. How much is dinner tonight? Blue granny. Is that right? Yeah, £5 for dinner tonight, one blue granny. These Pharisees and these Herodians, trying to defeat Jesus so that they can kill him, they are just simple hypocrites. Look at the coin in your pocket. You're not cut off from the Roman government. You benefit. You're bought in. Caesar's coins are in your pocket. His roads are under your feet, and his soldiers keep your peace. And it's the same for us. Every Christian is part of the society that they live in. Jesus' kingdom, he tells us, is not of this world, which means he had not come to overthrow the Romans. So Christians live here with duties and obligations. And just a thought about our country at the moment. There's a lot of people on the political right and on the political left who are very, very worried about the problems of our society. And, you know, they want to make Britain more whatever. Well, with these verses open, what do you think is the most patriotic thing we could do? It's the thing we all hate and try to get out of as much as possible, but maybe we should try and pay tax. Do you think I'd be able to get 100,000 people to march for that? Did you ever go and see your financial advisor or your HR department and say, please, I would like you to work out how I can pay more tax, please? We have regular Q&As here. I am not a tax expert. But in 3 weeks' time, I'll try and find someone competent to answer. So how do we work out our obligations in our society? And I brought with me a book that I read a little while ago. It's 10 years old now. And it is about how the media tends to demonize the poorest people in our country. At the time this book was written, there were endless media stories about benefit fraud, people cheating the system to get welfare they weren't entitled to. And there were, you know, angry headlines, photos of people with too many children. According to this book, welfare fraud then cost £1 billion a year, which is a lot. It's 200 million blue grannies. But in the same year, tax evasion by the rich and middle class cost £70 billion, 70 times as much. And every journalist writing those headlines and every tutting business traveller shaking out the paper probably had somebody they paid to help them do it. Okay, so loophole life is miserable, tax is important, and Jesus and Paul and Peter think that we should pay it. But this is about much more than tax. They've been living with how little can I get away with. That's what they've done with Caesar. And it is what they have done with God. And Jesus knows a better way. Likeness life. That's his better way. Likeness life is glorious. So if you've got a coin, look at it again. Every coin has a face, a likeness stamped onto it. And so we all of us understand that we owe the owner of the image something. And then Jesus says, end of that verse, and give to God what is God's. What is God's? What is it that belongs to him that I need to give him? And Jesus, he doesn't need to spell it out for them because there's a world of shared understanding that he taps into. He means, like coins, we too have an image stamped onto us. Our first reading came from the first page of the Bible, where God says, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So as Caesar is, or as the king is, to the coin in your pocket, so is God to your soul. It's one of the great Christian claims, disputed by some, but known to be true to every single human heart. We are not just animals with bigger brains. We have dignity and worth and value. And the Bible says we get that from the one whose image is stamped into our very nature. And we are wonderful and valuable because we are uniquely in the image of our Creator. I wonder if you know that. This time of year, maybe you've arrived in London recently, and maybe everything here is telling you the opposite. You're nobody now. No one knows about you. No one cares about you. You don't count anymore. No. You have the image of the eternal God stamped on you. You are more like God than you are like any of the other non-human creatures that we share this fragile planet with. More like God than you are like them, even though you share biology with them. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't Jesus better than his opponents? Do you see what he's done to them? They thought they'd laid a trap. He's just jumped out of the trap, closed it on them, and now he's asking them about the big problem in their whole life. Instead of the loophole life that they're into, with its low demand and getting away with as little as you can, Jesus, he offers a high demand, high expectations, high value, high joy, high reward, high trust life. It is the likeness life. It's the life we'd live if, or maybe, it's the life we do live when we stop fighting against the God who owns us because his face is stamped on our souls because he made us in his love to be his image, the life to be like him. Just look at what your sticker says. I actually couldn't read my sticker upside down. Had to get someone to read it to me. It says hello, and then it says my name is, and then just a name, Charlie. Or Jess, or Josh, or Salma. But those names, they are human names. So really it says, Josh, in the image of God. Or Salma, can you see the divine likeness in her? Genesis 1 is such an act of trust, isn't it? Make them in our image so that they may rule. Created in God's image. So bless them and be fruitful and fill and subdue and rule. Not to harm the planet by ruling it, but to care for it like the Creator who first made it good and then trusted us to be like him to each other and to his world. Be a human means to be in the image of God, not a hypocrite living the loophole life. So what does that mean? Means every minute of each day, whether you are at work or on your own or in the pub, wherever you are stamped with the face of God. And it means that we owe him our entire life, wherever we are. And maybe your work thinks that it owns you. Caesar certainly thought he owned his subject. It's not true. Wherever you are, God owns you. You're stamped with his image, and you go in his name. And that would include all of our responsibilities to family and employer and society and state. It includes paying tax, not to see how little we can get away with in all of those areas, but to be all for Jesus in all of our life and under Jesus. So the emperor, remember what he put on his coin? Son of the divine Augustus. Which is laughable. Caesar, he thinks he owns your life and the world, and really he owns a coin. That's all. Whereas God, he really does own the world and your life. And sometimes government and Jesus come into conflict. And there'll be people in this room with direct lived experience of this. Countries where a meeting like this might be broken up by the police. Countries where you cannot say to somebody, would you like to become a Christian? Countries where you cannot give someone a Bible without it being against the law. And there are times and places, and those would be examples, where actually to be a Christian may be to break the law, because the image of Jesus comes above the image of Caesar. But at other times, we have our duties, we have our obligations to all of the different networks that Jesus has placed us in. But then think about what this means for Partnership Sunday. Do you see, Partnership Sunday, it is not Church Tax Day. Maybe you do come from a country where there is a government church tax. I guess there'll be a few people in the room like that. Yeah, I just don't think that is a good solution. Or sorry, it is a great solution if all you care about is church roofs. So finding the money to pay to keep a roof on, it is terrible for giving God what you owe him. I've paid my church tax. I've done everything God needs me to do. It's similar, really. Do you know one of the reasons we don't pass collection bags down the row here at 5:30? Because it's just too easy to pay your tax. Or whatever coin is in my pocket. Maybe that's where my euro went for my shopping trolley. It's too easy to pay your tax. When the Bible calls Christians to give their entire life, because your entire life has God's image stamped on it. So when the Bible calls Christians to commit together in prayer and belonging and serving and giving, he's saying this is what your life is for. God has brought you here to London and has gloriously trusted you with all of the opportunities that you have in every area of your life as we scatter from here and serve him everywhere. And that should make us ask the opposite question to the Pharisees. They asked, how little can I get away with? Maybe ask, how can I serve him? And that will be different for each of us. So we're committed to praying together, and there is a prayer gathering on Tuesday, and I'd love it if every person in this room was here on Tuesday night, but maybe you can't. Maybe your shifts at work are not flexible enough, and you cannot be with us. Well, maybe instead, will you remember to pray with us as you push the carpet cleaner around at work or whatever it is? Or maybe you're a single mum and you would need to be at home with the kids instead of in to pray. Though, to be honest, we'd love it if you brought the kids and they can run around at the back and we'll pray. But most of us, we are just making choices all the time, aren't we? And we could pray, but we're just not sure that we will today. How much is enough to get Jesus off my back? And you know, you could multiply that out across 1,000 decisions in all of our lives that all of us, penny pinching and tax attitude everywhere. This passage, it says, stop it with the loopholes and join Jesus in the joy and the glory of the likeness life. Everything you are, everything that I am, everything we own or could be, it all comes from him. And whether you're in London for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years or 50, pour yourself into the service of this extraordinary Lord. Okay, so in 13 words, he sidesteps their trap, he closes it around their hypocrisy, and then he calls them to a better life. Mark thinks that Jesus is better and that we should, he's worth it, give him everything. Let me pray that we would. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, for his wisdom, his brilliance. Thank you for his life, his death, his sacrifice for us, his resurrection, his offer to follow him. And Father, we pray that you would lift our sights from how little and how little we could get away with to how much can we serve him, to the value of a life that is for him in every area. And we ask our Father, you would give us that desire deep in our hearts, as you have stamped your image on us as you made us, pray you would give us the desire to live for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.